I love seeing you on the front row today. Thank you, sir. Looking fantastic up here on the front row. I challenged a few folk to come to the front row a couple of Sundays ago, and I love seeing these front rows full, except for that one right there. Pray for this one. It's been a problem ever since I arrived in Covington. I don't know what the deal is, but amen. We're going to cast the devil out of that front row. Amen. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to go into your word today. I pray that you would bless the time we have remaining today. I pray that you would speak to us over these next few minutes, Lord. You have been so good to us, Lord. You've just poured into us and taught us and led us and directed us in your word. And I know today will be just exactly what we need. And I thank you, Lord, for presenting your message today, Lord, for every hearer of your word today, that their lives would be impacted and would be equipped and would be bettered, and that all of us would be able to leave here today and become doers of this word, living this word out in our lives. We pray it today in your name. Amen, amen, amen. Well, we've been enjoying summer around the church, Covington. There normally is a significant drop-off in summer. It's that way all over America. I've received text messages from pastors even while this service is going on. They're ready to jump off the ledge somewhere because everyone is gone, and it's hard to survive summer sometimes. But I've been so excited about the momentum that's happening here at the church, Covington. That doesn't mean that people aren't scattered and out on a vacation this weekend. Sure, there's a bunch of people gone, and that's all right. We want you to get your vacation in and get your family time in and take care of all of those things. But when you're in town, it's exciting to come and just feel the excitement that is in the air and to see all that God is doing here at the church. Again, we're not going through summer, we are growing through summer. And so we want you to invite your friends and I want you to invite your family and see them feel and experience and come to know the same presence of the Lord that you are enjoying in your life and that you are being impacted by. And we know that God is doing something great. I honestly, as a pastor, am so proud of our church and so excited about our church. I certainly don't want to make the Russells uncomfortable at all, but I was just so proud of our church, so thankful for our church. You served this family and served her memorial service, Eliana's memorial service, on Tuesday. So much excellence, and there were so many here serving, and it was just fantastic. And I love what God is doing here among us, not just on Sunday, but any day of the week, and whatever is needed, you're just stepping up and rising to the occasion. And I'm proud of you, and I'm thankful and excited and honored to be your pastor today. Can we just give the Lord a hand for all that he is doing? It's fantastic. It's fantastic to see the growth. It's fantastic to see a couple of dozen middle schoolers get up and head to their class, and to hear the banging of church kids up here while they're being led in good ministry, and know that we have church champs, which are our special needs, and even the buddies that are assisting them. It's just happening all over the campus today, and it is exciting. And we know company is on the way. We know that school's going to get back in just a few weeks, and people are going to get settled in. And then, hey, we've had a summer break. Let's get back to church, or let's find a church, or let's get our family where it needs to be. And they're going to step into a house that is already rolling and already moving in the right direction, and that is an exciting thing. And that's some of what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about fireworks. I know we had some here in town, and it's always fun when you have the 4th of July holiday, and you're able to get your hand on some sparklers or some of the good stuff. Maybe you get some of those things that shoot way up into the air and just kind of create your own display. It's always exciting to be a part of a firework celebration where you see all of the colors and all of the brightness and all of the lights. It's really fantastic. But I want to play on that word today and tell you that the fire still works. The fire of God still works. Do you believe that today? And I want to use as a setting this morning Acts 28. You can turn there, and we're just going to kind of work our way through the first five or six verses this morning and just spend a few minutes. I said on social media this week that I was only going to preach 30 minutes, and I'm gonna hold to it today. Amen. So put the clock on me, and when does it start? Has it already started? They're telling me it's already started, so I guess I'm already a couple of 3 minutes into that. But let me give you a backdrop of Acts 28 so you know what is happening here. Paul is a prisoner on this ship. He's a prisoner, and it's by complete design. It's by the will of God. Paul is actually excited about being a prisoner on this ship. I know that sounds really odd. I know that sounds really opposite to anything that would be normal for you and I, but Paul is excited about being a prisoner because this ship is taking him to Rome, taking him to stand before Caesar, taking him to a place that he's never been before, and so he's excited about the opportunity to go even as a prisoner because his way is being paid, and he's going to get to another country, get to another place that he's never been, which means he's going to meet people he's never met, which means people are going to hear the gospel that have never heard it before. And so Paul is excited about being a prisoner. What if you and I were excited about what we were going through, whatever trial we were dealing with, whatever struggle we were living through? What if we got excited about that because we knew on the other side of our trial, on the other side of our struggle, we were going to be able to testify about the goodness of the Lord to another group of people that we wouldn't have had the opportunity to testify in front of if we hadn't gone through the struggle? It's all a matter of perspective, but Paul is happy about this. It's a long ordeal. We read the chapter in just a few minutes, but this was actually months in process in order for Paul to stand before Caesar. The conditions, they're not perfect, but when you're in the will of God, then it doesn't matter. Conditions do not have to be perfect. Just knowing I'm living the plan of God, knowing I'm in the will of God is all the comfort that I need. And so as they're stopping and getting supplies, or maybe spending a couple days while the ship is being maintained, and they're just in some different coastal places, in some different cities along the way, Paul, who has made friends with his guard, Paul, who has built a rapport with some of the officials and captains of the ship, Paul tells them, I don't know if they knew who Paul was previously. I don't know if they knew him by reputation. I mean, he is in prison, for preaching the gospel. So maybe they know that he's one of those God men. I don't know. But Paul tells the guard, he said, listen, we need to stay right where we are. If we get out there in the open waters, we are going to face a significant storm. That's not going to be good for us. The guard hears the warning of Paul and takes the word to the captain. The captain said, no, this is not a comfortable place for us to dock. This is not a good place. There's not enough nightlife here. There's just not enough to entertain us for these winter months. And so we're going to sail on a little further. We're going to go a little further. And Paul said, look, I tried to tell you, I tried to warn you, but you do what you have to do. And sure enough, they got out into the open seas, and here come a storm. The King James Version named the storm Euroclydon. Our teaching today talks about a typhoon. It's a hurricane. It's a major storm, and they're out there in this storm, and literally it is threatening their lives. They're throwing the surplus of the ship, the excess weight, the food, the supply. They're throwing all of it overboard, trying to lighten the ship, trying to keep it on top of the water. They haven't seen the sun nor the stars in 14 days. 2 weeks they've been living in pitch dark, just incredible circumstances. The storm just pelting them and just beating them. They had let the wheel go, the Bible said. The ship is just driving wherever it wants to drive. They have no control over where they are going or what they are doing. And finally, an angel comes to Paul and says, listen, I know you warned them. I know you tried to tell them. I know you gave them the word that I gave to you. But let me give you another word. If they will stay with the ship, not one person's life is going to be lost. I'm summing up Acts 27 for you. This is all in Acts 27. If they'll stay with the ship, then all of them will ultimately survive. The Bible tells us there was like 235 or 238 passengers, prisoners that were on this ship. That's a lot of people. It's a lot of people that were on this vessel. But if all of them will stay with the ship, they're not going to lose anyone's life. But finally, the ship breaks apart. And the Bible said that on boards and on broken pieces, on boards and on broken pieces, these men are hanging on to the ship. Some of them just have a few boards that are still stuck together. And they're holding on to and trying to make a raft out of this thing. Can you imagine how scary that was? Can you imagine how daunting that was? These men have not eaten in 2 weeks. These men have not had proper water in days. These men, their clothes have been ripped from their bodies. They haven't had showers. They haven't brushed teeth. These men haven't had a good hair day in a long, long time. These men are rough looking, and then they swim into Acts 28, which is where our text is this morning. The Bible said in verse 1, Acts 28, once we were safe on shore, we learned we were on the island of Malta. We didn't even know where we were, because storms will confuse you. Sometimes challenges, trials, difficulties will come into your life and will leave you punch drunk and dazed and completely confused as to where you are. You won't even know. You won't even know what you're doing. You won't even know where you are anymore. Storms will steal your direction. May not be a preferred circumstance, but if that's why it's important for me to keep doing the right things even when I'm going through the storm. That's why it's important that I don't make drastic life-altering decisions while I am going through the storm. It's important that I stick with my disciplines. That's why you and I do what we do out of discipline and not so much out of desire, because we all know that desire will come and go. But if it is a discipline in our life, I'll keep doing it even when I don't feel like doing it. I'm teaching good in my 30 minutes today. Psalm 37 and 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So even when I've had to let the wheel of my life go, and this is out of my control, this is beyond anything that I can help or even handle, I've just had to trust the Lord. Guess what? You can trust the Lord because your steps are being ordered. Your way is being guided. Your path is being directed by Him. I'm not saying that's the preferred way of living. I don't like living an out-of-control life. I kind of like knowing what's going to be happening with the rest of my day and what's planned for tomorrow and where I'm going to be next week. I like having a plan, but I trust that if I'll do the right thing, that God will make sure that even when it feels like my circumstances are twisting me and turning me all different kinds of directions, that He still knows the way that I take. And then verse 2, the Bible said that the people of the island were very kind to us. They were very kind to us. I want you, this is such an important point to me. Imagine again the prisoners' condition. They're haggard, worn, filthy. All of those descriptors would be an understatement. There's approximately 240 of these prisoners, which looks like an invasion of this little island. Here come these men out of the water. Imagine these men rising up out of the water, finally putting their feet on some kind of solid ground, and they've got no clothes on their body. They've not had anything to eat. Their eyes are sunken in. I mean, they look a complete mess. Here they come on to this island called Malta, and immediately the first thing that is said is that these people were so kind to them. The host of the island, the natives of the island, they were so kind to them. They were so happy to have them. They were kind to them. Let that be said of you and I. Let that be said of the members of this house. No matter where people are coming from, no matter what kind of storm they are coming out of, no matter what kind of condition they have been living in, I pray that people don't walk through the doors and we just, you know, we're going to watch them a while. We're going to look them all up and down. We're going to look them over real good and just try to find out who they are or what they are all about. No. Let it be said of us that I may have been coming from the storm, but that church was so kind to me. I may have been living in the storm of addiction, but those people were so kind to me. I may have been coming out of a brutal divorce. I may have been coming out of an impossible circumstance, but those people were so kind to me. So kind. Didn't matter where they were coming from. It didn't matter how they were dressed. It didn't matter how dirty they were, physically or morally. People of that island were kind to them. Verse 2 goes on to say it was cold and rainy, so they built a fire on the shore to welcome us. I want you to notice where they begin. They began with a fire. The first thing they did was build a fire for those who were coming from the storm. Because the only way we can really help those coming from the storm, coming from the issues of life, is to build a fire in this house. I want to help people. I want to make a difference in people's lives. And help may take on many different looks as we work to be a holistic ministry. Don't think New Age when I say that. I'm talking about we're helping the whole man. We're not just trying to help a man spiritually, but we want to help him emotionally. We want to help him physically. We want to help him in every way, holistically. We want to help them from head to toe. Anything that we can do to make their life better. Anything we can do to make a difference in their life. But none of that matters if you don't begin with the fire of God. None of it matters. I remember we were pastoring back home, and I was in the middle of preaching one Sunday, and someone came in to the church well into the service, and Kristen just happened to be out in the lobby area of the church, and here come this man. He was in a desperate situation. He was at least looked frantic and all of that. And he came in and he looked up there on the stage and could see that I was preaching. And he said, that man telling Kristen, that man, he didn't know that she and I were connected. That man said that if I came by the church, he was going to give me $600. And Kristen, she didn't say, well, I'm his wife and I control all of his money. And, she didn't go into any of the details. But she knew that something wasn't quite right here. And she said, well, if you'll just go and sit down in the service and hear the rest of the preaching, then you can talk to him after the... No, I don't have time for that. I've got to have it right now. He said that someone was going to be waiting out here and they would give me the money. And of course, she knew that was not the case. She knew that was not the truth. Here is this man. I don't know what his story was. I don't know what was going on. Maybe he was trying to get to as many churches as he possibly could between 10 and 11 a.m. I don't know where he was coming from or even where he was going. I just know he would not stay because he had no interest in coming in sitting down and being helped spiritually or being helped with some of the things that he needed in his life. It was just fix my immediate need, fix my physical, fix my financial, remedy this, and I'm not worried about any of the other stuff. But hear me, at the Church Covington, we're not just interested in helping you one way or another way. We're interested in helping you head to toe, making a difference in your life, and you making a difference in all of us doing this together. Complete ministry. That's why small groups are so important, because it's an opportunity to get other looks at things and other perspectives and new ways of understanding things that are so very, very important. But all of it has to begin with the fire of God. It has to begin with His presence. It has to begin with His power. It has to begin with His healing. It has to begin with His grace and mercy. Some of you may be new and you're getting the cart before the horse. You're like, wait a minute, I've been coming to this. I've been here for a whole hour and 15 minutes and nothing's happened in my life yet. I've been coming here for 2 weeks and they talk about life change, but nothing has changed. I'm still living in complete chaos. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. You didn't get into your problem overnight and you won't get out of it overnight. You didn't get into your mess in a minute and you won't get out in a minute. But if you will just stay faithful to God's plan, if you will just keep allowing Him to work in your life little by little and Sunday by Sunday and small group by small group, you'll look back over your shoulder and say, wait a minute, I've been around here for about six and I'm just amazed how far I've come. I'm just amazed how different my life looks. I'm just amazed at all that God has done in my... Is anybody all right with just giving God some time to work in your life? He's able and He's willing and He wants to do it in your life. And verse 3 says, as Paul gathered an armful of sticks. You got to give me just a moment. I know I'm in my 30, but just hold on a minute. The Bible said that Paul, who was coming from the storm, Paul, who was, naked himself and broken himself and starving himself and without sleep himself, Paul, who's looking just as haggard as the other 239 prisoners, Paul began to gather an armful of sticks. Paul, who is weak in body, Paul, who is starving out of his mind, Paul, who is thirsty for some good water, Paul began to gather an armful of sticks. Paul is one of the prisoners. He's one of those who are shipwrecked. It's one who's been floating on a broken board, but still the Bible says that he's gathering wood. Why? What is he doing? You would think he would just sit down on a log and just wait for someone to serve him. Someone to meet his needs, someone to wait on him, someone to take care of him. But no, Paul said, you know what? I'm going to help build this fire because not one of these people know better than I do how cold I am. Not one of the people here that's been so kind know how hungry I am like I know how hungry I am. And the faster this fire gets built, the faster there can be some food cooked. The faster this fire gets built, the faster it begins to warm my body that is cold all the way down to the bone. The faster this fire gets built, Paul said, you know what? I want to be a part of building the fire that's going to warm me, that's going to nourish me, that's going to sustain me. I want to be a part of building the fire that is going to make a difference in my life. Somebody needs to hear me. I know you need help in your life, but can I ask you something? Why not help yourself? I know we're used to being waited on and we're used to being taken care of and we're used to just folding our arms and saying, well, whatever they want to do, they'll do. Why not do something for my, if I know what needs to be done, why wouldn't I gather up some sticks and say, you know what, let me help build this fire. Let me see if I can help make a difference in my own life. Because statistics prove that when you include people in their own healing, it lasts longer. When you include people in their own deliverance process, it lasts longer. What is the old adage? If you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you teach him to fish, then you feed him for life. Let me tell you another life truth. The selfish won't last long, but the serving will. Those that know how to help themselves. Paul is gathering sticks. That's why if I'm coming to church today and I know I've got this issue and that issue and this problem and that problem and this crisis and I got a whole bunch of stuff over here and it's all unspoken. I'm not going to name any of this, but I'm coming into church on Sunday morning and I hear the team up here working their way, building worship and lifting up the name of the Lord. I'm not just going to come sit on my hands and say, well, I got all these issues. I'm going to wait and see if the Lord spoke to that preacher, see if he's got anything for me today. No, I'm going to gather up some sticks of praise. I'm going to gather up some sticks of worship. I'm going to find a way to worship God myself. If I can get this fire hot enough, it's going to warm me. It's going to nourish me. It's going to help me. Hey, I've come to tell somebody today that the fire still works. If you build the fire big enough, it's going to make a difference in your life and in your life and in your life. The fire still works. He's building the fire. And the Bible said that as he gathered this armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake, driven out by the heat, bit him on the hand. Paul is doing the right thing. Paul is helping build a fire. Paul is making a difference for himself and others. But here comes a snake. Can I tell you something today? The enemy always hangs around your help. You're going to get that in a minute. Write it down if you need to. The enemy always hangs around your help. When you're way out there, when you're a long way off, the enemy will just kind of leave you because he knows you're so far out there. He's so lost. I don't even have to go out there and tell him to keep going. He just keeps going all by himself. But the minute you start coming back to back to the Lord. The minute you start coming to where the fire is, the minute you start coming to where your help is, the moment you start coming toward your healing, the enemy says, oh, no, I can't let them get there. That's why the devil hangs out in this parking lot. If I mess with that, I'm going to get off my 30 minutes. I don't need to mess with that. But the enemy hangs out in this parking lot. He hangs out around all these doors. And from the second you pull up, he's saying, don't go in that church. Nobody likes you there. Don't walk through those doors. They don't care about you. Don't go into that. Don't go into that building. Nobody understands. Nobody understands them. Them people got it all together. They just have all of their ducks in a row and everything's perfect in their life. Don't go in there because nobody's going to be able to understand what it is that you are going through. And how many people just drive through the parking lot and back out the other side? How many people walk up to the doors and turn around? Oh, I forgot something. I'll be right back, and get in their car and leave because the enemy hangs out around your help. You need to recognize the voice of God and the voice of the enemy and the voice of you. The voice of God is going to keep drawing you toward Jesus. Your voice is going to be struggling between the two, but the voice of the enemy is going to try to get you to run as far away from the goodness of God as you possibly can. That's the voice you need to kick out of your life and say, no, you've not given me one good piece of advice ever in my life. Why in the world would I listen to you? I'm going toward the fire. I'm going toward healing. I'm going toward mercy. I'm going toward the goodness of God. I'm on my way to the fire. Here comes the enemy. Here he comes. He said, I finally found a fire that can warm my heart, a fire that can cook some spiritual food for my hungry spirit. This is what I've been looking for. Some have never been able to get close to the fire because the enemy always shows up. But today is your day to deal with the enemy. Today is your day to deal with the snake. There's one of these pastors I follow on Instagram, and he posted a video just a couple of days ago of a snake, a poisonous snake slithering across like his back patio. And he said, here's another one. And I thought, another one? That sounds like, what? I mean, another one speaks to plural, multiples. What are you talking about? And when I started looking at the comments, people were like, something's wrong, Pastor. You better get out of there. But apparently it had been like 7 or 8 snakes that they had found either in their house or around their house. And people were being spiritual and casting out the devil. I just commented and said, it's time to burn the whole thing down. Burn the whole house down. It's done. It's over. There's no value here. Burn it down. I don't like snakes. Don't want to deal with snakes. And people get, I mean, just, you know, what are we going to do? We can't handle this. Where are we going to go? This snake comes out of the heat where Paul was laying sticks on a fire. Verse 4, the people of the island saw it hanging from his hand and said to each other, a murderer, no doubt. Though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live. The snake's plan is always to deceive. And these people are thinking karma. Karma has finally gotten Paul. I know we're just doing our best to be kind to all of these people, but that must be a really bad one right there, because look, we're building him a fire and a snake latches onto him, bites him. Now we know he's going to die. I get it. You're needing a support system and people who believe in you, but everybody's watching. I'm just not sure. We're just going to give this some time because I don't know. I don't know if he's going to make it out of this. Listen, no matter who's supporting you, if you will keep at it, if you will stick it out, if you will refuse to quit, Verse 5 said that Paul shook off the snake into the fire and was unharmed. Paul found out that the fire still works. I want you to notice this morning that the snake did not come from the fire. He came from the heat. That's the deal with fire. When you light a fire, if you're going camping, and I'm not going camping, don't invite me to go camping. Camping is not my thing. But I've heard, if you're going to get caught in the woods, build a fire because it will drive the snakes away. They don't want anything to do with the fire. The Bible said that the snake came out of the heat. What the heat exposed, the fire was able to handle. What the heat of your life exposes, what the heat of your circumstance exposes, what the heat of your problems and your crisis and your difficulties exposes, the fire that you are near can absolutely handle it. That means if you're going through some stuff this week, but somehow in some way you got to church where there is a fire that is raging, where the fire of God is moving in this house, all you got to do is take that mess that's attached itself to you this week. All you got to do is take those circumstances that have bit you this week. Just shake it off into the fire and let the fire consume the snakes, the enemy, the mess that is trying to attach itself to your life, because the fire still works. Bring all the snakes, bring all the devils, bring all the trouble, bring it to the fire and watch what happens. It'll be defeated, it'll be destroyed, it'll be thrown down, and there will be victory in your life. I love verse 6. The Bible said that the people waited for him to swell up or to suddenly drop dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw that he wasn't harmed, they changed their minds and decided he was a god. So let them watch. Let them wonder. Let them assume what will be your fate. They think this time will be like last time. Just let them watch. Let them wonder if you'll ever get out of this latest jam. You know what? Thankfully, it's not me saving me. Thankfully, I'm depending on the Lord. He does all things well. Hear me today. It doesn't matter how many times you've tried and failed. Doesn't matter how many times you've made commitments and gone back on them. Doesn't matter how many times you've said, you know what, this is the day I am going all the way, and you only make it 48 hours. Doesn't matter. Today can be your day to begin again. They're watching him. Hey, he's going to fall dead. Just watch a minute. He's not going to make it out of this. He only made it 48 hours last time. It's hour 49. Hour 67. What is going on? I know that snake, that was a big snake. That was a big problem. That's a big mess he got himself into. That was a big oops. That was a big failure. Why isn't he falling? Why isn't he dead? Paul found a fire. And then they decided that he was a man of God. They've called you everything. But just wait until they call you a man or a woman of God. I know the circumstance should have gotten the best of me. But I found a fire. Has anybody found that fire today? That's why at the Church Covington, this is a church for everyone. Hear me. This is not this is not just a church for radical Pentecostals. This is not just a church for, you know, what do they say about Baptists, frozen and chosen? This is not just, you know, this is a church for everyone. It's a church for everyone. What matters is that we have the fire of God in this house. Fire of His presence. Fire of deliverance. Fire of healing and breakthrough. Strength and spiritual overcoming. Anybody need a miracle today? Anybody need the fire of God today? Stand with me across the room. Hallelujah, Lord. We're going to pray in just a moment. I want you to hear me. If you need to say yes to Jesus today, then today is your day. In just a few moments, I'm going to pray for you. And if you make that decision to say yes, there's two giant yes banners on either side of this auditorium. Stop by one of these banners before you leave today. Just you don't have to tell anything. You're not going to any one of these people to, I think I see Deborah, I see Lydia. You're not going to any one of these people to counsel with them, or to, if you need to do that, that's fine. They're equipped and able to talk to you, but they're not trying to get information from you. They just want to put something into your hand, a resource following Jesus. If you say yes today, just you can just go and say, I said yes, and they're going to give you this book. That book will help you with your next steps. If you want to sign up for Discover Church, that's right here in this auditorium. You can do that right back in the back. I don't want to just pray for you today that you feel better in the moment. But I want you to feel like you know what to do next, and that you know where to go next, how to respond next. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this house today and yes is what is in your spirit, if yes is what is in your heart, I want you just to pray a simple prayer with me. It's not the only prayer you will ever pray, but this is one of the most important prayers you will ever pray. The prayer to begin this spiritual journey, the prayer to say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I can't. I have to have you in my life. So if that's you today, if you need to say yes to Jesus, just pray. Use my words or use yours, but something along the lines of, Jesus, I need you to save me today. I need you to heal my life. I need you to help me find the right track. I repent of my sin today. I'm sorry for everything in me that's not like you. Today, I want you to renew me. I want you to revive me. I want you to restore me. Today, I want you to change me. Today, I want you to heal me. Thank you for the price you paid on the cross. You paid that for me. Today, I'm going to repay you with my life. In Jesus' name, amen.